Today's daf is daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. So we got to the top of the Mishnah there. The Mishnah begins, this is the last, not actually not last Mishnah, but the last daf of the Perek. So the Mishnah begins, Mishayulo Shnei Tinokos, a person has two children, say twins possibly, Echad Lamul V'Achar Shabbos, V'Echad Lamul B'Shabbos. So one child was born a day later, you know, could have been like the few moments or the hours, it's possible. Twins could be born, you know, within an hour and 2 hours difference, who knows. So one child is meant to get a milah on Sunday, the day after Shabbos, and one on Shabbos itself. So echa lamul achar Shabbos ve'echa lamul b'Shabbos. The shachach, he made a mistake, he forgot. Umal es shel achar Shabbos b'Shabbos. He accidentally gave a milah to the Sunday baby on Shabbos, which is not a mitzvah. It's on the day seven, so you don't fulfill a mitzvah in that case. But one is chayv for doing so. One is chayv for violating a melacha in that case. And echa lamul, a different case, echa lamul be'erev Shabbos. One of them was supposed to get a Friday bris. Ve'echa lamul b'Shabbos, one was supposed to get a Shabbos bris. V'shachach umal shel erev Shabbos, b'Shabbos accidentally, he took the Friday baby, gave that Friday baby a milah on Shabbos. So here is actually a machlokas, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer, mechayv chatesh, you're chayv because since it's a milah shel b'zmana, you gave the Friday baby on Shabbos, so it's a day nine, maybe it's chayv chatesh. Rabbi Yeshua Poti says you're exempt in this case. Just look at Rashi before you go right to the Gemara. Rashi says, V'shachach umal es shel achar Shabbos b'Shabbos chayv. The first case is where you took the Sunday baby and you gave him the milah on Shabbos. So in this case, it's a milah shel b'zmana, but it's day seven. It was too early. You gave the bris too early to the child. The tah b'davar mitzvah. It's a concept called tah b'davar mitzvah. It comes up in a few places where you made a mistake in the performance of a mitzvah and you violated an isser in doing so. So the tah b'davar mitzvah v'lo asa mitzvah, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah because the baby was only day seven. And v'aver lei chabur shlo tzarech, you did an unnecessary chabura, u'beha afilu Rabbi Yeshua Modi, even Rabbi Yeshua, who's mekel in the second case of the Mishnah, agrees in this case that a day seven baby, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah and you're chayv a chatas for doing so. And then the Rashi goes on to say further, echad lamul b'shabbos v'echad lamul b'er Shabbos. V'shachach umalas shel erev Shabbos b'Shabbos. He took the Friday baby, gave a milah on Shabbos, so it's on day nine. So it was a mitzvah; it was just a delayed mitzvah. Here, day nine, you are chayv a milah in that case. In this case, Rabbi Eliezer is mechayv chatas. The milah shel b'zmana ain't a docha Shabbos. When it's a late milah, it's not docha Shabbos. V'af agav de tav b'davar mitzvah shaya torid be'osa shel Shabbos. Even though he's involved in the baby that was supposed to get a milah on Shabbos. But since he was so tired in the mitzvah, he was so busy, he accidentally took the wrong child, which is not so crazy because they're twins, they're babies, hard to tell the difference. But he was involved in the mitzvah. He was supposed to give a meal to one of them, but gave the wrong one. Mitzvah. Even though he actually even performed the mitzvah, he fulfilled the mitzvah, the child was worthy of getting the milah because it was a Friday bris that was pushed off a day. So day nine, you fulfill mitzvah, but it was on Shabbos. So Rashi explains to Savar Leila Rabbi Eliezer, Ta B'davar Mitzvah, the Asa Mitzvah. You made a mistake in doing a mitzvah and also even performed the mitzvah. You fulfilled the mitzvah, Yesh B'chiv Chatas nonetheless. But Rabbi Yeshua says, no. In the first case, you were Ta B'davar Mitzvah, but you never fulfilled the mitzvah because it was a baby that's supposed to get a meal on Sunday. You gave it a day earlier, so you didn't perform the mitzvah. So everybody agrees in the first case, there's a chiv chatas. But this case, you also fulfilled the mitzvah because it was a day nine for the baby. And Rabbi Yeshua says pater, but nonetheless, Rabbi Eliezer says chayv. So this is the case. It's a little bit of a tricky case to figure out, but that's the mission. So now the Gemara.
So in regards to the baby, on the seventh day, it doesn't consider
to be mahu. So it's a good question. The Rush says you actually fulfill the mitzvah. And they prove from this case here, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. How could the Rush say? The din is, if a person gets a milah on day seven, you don't need to do a toughest dam bris after. The toughest dam bris is something that you get if a person was born a milah, born mahul. So the Rush says, if a guy got a milah on day seven, he doesn't need to get a toughest dam bris, implying that you performed the mitzvah on day seven. So the response is that no. What happened was, day seven, you didn't get the mitzvah b'shaito, but after day eight's over, you actually did fulfill the mitzvah. I mean, the two elements of bris milah, we've discussed this in the past, is the ma'aseh milah, and there's the fact that one is mahul. So the ma'aseh milah, nothing was performed day seven. There's no milah on day seven. But after day eight comes, and the child is mahul, so then at that point, he fulfills the mitzvah as being mahul, so there is no need for any fixing, any hatavas dambris. So this is the Mishnah. So now the Gemara is going to say there's really machlokas, how to understand the Mishnah. So, okay, it's a little bit trickier. the Gemara says, Rav Huna masni chayiv, Rav Yehuda masni pater. So just look at Rashi first on this Gemara. Rashi says, Rav Huna masni b'masnisin in our Mishnah, Bereisha, the first case of the Mishnah, chayiv l'divrei kol, k'detanina le'anan. Our Mishnah, our presentation of the Mishnah is in accordance with Rav Huna's understanding. Fine. But Rav Yehuda says, Rashi, Rav Yehuda masni b'reisha pater. He thinks the first case is actually pater. The first case was where you have a Sunday baby and a Shabbos baby, and you gave a meal to the Sunday baby on Shabbos. He thinks everyone thinks you're pater in that scenario. Demoki lo, says Rashi, b'shachach umal es shel erev Shabbos b'shabbos upluksi b'shel achar Shabbos b'shabbos. He switched around the order, I'm sorry. He thinks the ratio of the case is really a case where you took the Friday baby and you gave the Friday baby a meal on Shabbos. That, he thinks, everyone thinks you're pater in that case because there's a day nine baby. At least there's a performance of the mitzvah, fulfillment of the mitzvah. The machlokas is if you took a sha'achar Shabbos, you took a Sunday milah, and you did it on Shabbos, that's where there's a debate. So the Gemara is going to explain all this now. So again, it's a little tricky, the cases now. So again, the Gemara says from the top, Rav Huna masni chayiv, like our Mishnah says, Rav Yehuda masni pater, he learns our reisha is pater, but his reisha is a different case than our reisha. The Tanya, the Braisa says, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, lo nechlaku Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, almi, they don't argue on the following case, Amisha hayu lo shnei tinokos, you have twins, echalamul b'shabbos v'echalamul achas Shabbos, a Shabbos and a Sunday baby. B'shachach umal es shel achas Shabbos b'shabbos, you give the Sunday milah on Shabbos accidentally. Shu chayv. Everybody agrees you're chayv in that case because at the time the child was only day seven. He's supposed to get a milah on Sunday, he got it on Shabbos. There's no mitzvah, he's only day seven, so you're chayv chatz. Alma nechlaku, what do they argue on? Amisha hayu lo beis tinokos, two twins, two boys. Echalamul be'erev Shabbos, echalamul b'Shabbos, a Friday bris and a Shabbos bris. V'shachach umal es shel erev Shabbos. B'Shabbos, you give the milah to the Friday baby a day late on Shabbos. She Rabbi Eliezer mechayv chatas, Rabbi Yeshua poter. So what's this machlokas? U'shneim, again, they're talking about a case of Friday bris where a baby was given a bris on Shabbos, a day late. So they argue in this case, and shneim lo lamdu elam avod des kocham. They both learn from the same source of avodah zarah, from avodah zarah. How so? Rabbi Eliezer Savar ki avodas kochavim, just like avodas zara, ma avodas kochavim, amar rachmana lo savad, you can't do avodas zara, and if one does, v'chi avad, mechayiv, hachanami lo shah, here as well, you're told not to make a chabur on Shabbos, and you did, so you're chayiv achat, this is just like the case of violating avodas zara. But Rabbi Yeshua says, this case is different, granted, you didn't perform the mitzvah properly, but hasam la mitzvah, Hacha mitzvah. In the case of avodah zarah, you were not osik in any mitzvah. Here, a person's osik in a mitzvah, and therefore, a person is would be pater in this case. A person was he fulfilled the mitzvah, as opposed to avodah zarah. So you can't use avodah zarah as a model. Therefore, in this case, he thinks you're pater. Because if you look at Rashi, Ela me avodah zarah. Rashi says, Shehukshu kol chatol shebetor lechatas avodah zarah. Avodah zarah, the Torah itself uses it as a model. Dichsev Torah achas yelachem. In the context of avodah zarah, therefore that's the model. It's parsha shlach, he goes on to say. So that's the model. So here, in this case, you fulfill the mitzvah. You gave the child of day eight. You gave a meal on day nine. Granted, it wasn't ideal, but you still perform the mitzvah, and therefore it's not subject to a chiv chatas according to Rabbi Yeshua. Now, the Gemara says, according to Rav Yehuda, who masne pater, he learns the case as being pater, so that's different than our case. He learns the following. Desanya. Amar Rabbi Meir. Lo nechlaku Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua Ami, shayu lo beis tinokos. They don't argue when you have two twins. Echa lamul b'erev Shabbos, echa lamul b'Shabbos. A Friday and a Shabbos bris. V'shachach omala shal erev Shabbos b'Shabbos shupater. If you take the Friday baby and you do it on Shabbos accidentally, everybody agrees you're actually pater, according to his understanding. Why? Because you fulfilled the mitzvah. Your Friday burst a day late. It wasn't ideal. It was shelo b'zmana, but you still got the mitzvah, so you're pater. Amal nechlaku, what are they arguing about? Al misha yulo shnei tinokos, two twins, echal lamul acha Shabbos, a Sunday bris, v'echal lamul b'Shabbos, and a Shabbos bris. V'shachach umal es shel acha Shabbos. B'Shabbos, you take the Sunday baby, and you give him milah on Shabbos a day earlier, which is day seven only. Sh'Rabbi Eliezer mechayv chatas, Rabbi Yeshua poter, this is the machlokas. And they, too, also, Shneim lo lamdu ela me'avodas chachavim, they also use the model of avodah zarah, but slightly different, because in this case, you don't get a mitzvah. The previous case was a day eight baby was given a meal on day nine on Shabbos. That you get a meal. That was a previous discussion of machlokas. Here is, you give a day, a Sunday bris, a Sunday baby, on Shabbos a day early, there is no fulfillment of a mitzvah in this case. There, you're what's called Torah b'mitzvah, you're Osik b'mitzvah, but you don't get a mitzvah on this milah that was given on day 7. So the Gemara says again, Shneim lo lamdu ela me'avodos kochavim. They both use Avodah Zarah as the model. The Rabbi Eliezer Savar ka'avodos kochavim, avodos kochavim amar rachman lo savid v'chiyavid mechayiv. You can't do Avodah Zarah, and if one does, you get a chatas. Here as well, hachanami lo shna. You did a chabur on Shabbos, so you get a chatas. But Rabbi Yeshua says there's a distinction. Hossam over there by Avodah Zarah lo tar b'mitzvah, the guy wasn't osik in any form of mitzvah, so that's why he's chay. But here, hacha tar b'mitzvah. Here, even though you're right, you gave the Sunday milah on Shabbos, which is day 7, and you didn't get a mitzvah, but you were at least tar b'mitzvah, you at least were osik in a mitzvah, and therefore you'd be chayv in this case. Pater in this case, rather. Okay. There's an interesting discussion in the poskim. If a person is tub with avar mitzvah, and your pater in this case, has one violated an isser at least? Is there an isser in doing so? Or just do we say that nothing was done wrong, no isser at all? Or do we say a person is pater from a karbon, but he would agree that still is an isser has taken place here? So this is machlokus in the achronim, whether or not tub with avar mitzvah is violating isser, or he's completely off the hook. There is a Rebbe Kivi Eger that says by misasik. We say misasik on Shabbos is pater. Why? Because misasik is a person who wasn't paying attention. He flipped on the light, not realizing it was Shabbos, just to really, it's habitual. So the din is, he's pater on Shabbos misasik, he's pater on Shabbos, because Shabbos is melechas machshavos, so you have to have complete awareness. He was misasik, he was just being osik in whatever he was doing. So Rabbi Kivi Eger is mechadesh that he thinks although misasik is pater, you have violated an isser in doing so. There's still an isser. Misasik isn't mutter, it's just pater valasik. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Kivi Eger. So the post can point out, although Rabbi Kivi Eger thinks misasik normally is usher, he says if you're misasik b'davar mitzvah, he thinks that you would be mutter. Not that you would lichachil say it, but it's not even an isser involved. But since you're doing a mitzvah as well, you're tarred in a mitzvah, that brings a misasik from being usher to actually being mutter now. So again, if I go into the room, not paying attention, flip on the light, that's misasik, I violated an isser, Rabbi Kivi Eger. If I did something similar in the context of a mitzvah, Rabbi Kivi Eger would agree in that case, there is no isser even because tav b'davar mitzvah is not involved in any form of an isser. Let's go further now. Gemara says, Tani, Rabbi Chia Omer, Haya Rabbi Meir, Lo Nechaku, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua Amisha Yulo Shnei Tinokos. They don't argue about the following case according to Rabbi Chia's understanding. You have one child, Echal Amul Be'erev Shabbos, Echal Amul B'Shabbos, V'Shachach Umala Shel Erev Shabbos, Shuchayev. So they agree that if a person takes, this is a different twist now, you take the Friday baby and you give the Mila on Shabbos, everyone agrees in this case you're actually Chayev. This is a different angle. Amal Nechalku, what do they argue about?
This is like the first case.
This is like the first case. Now, the first case was, I think, a situation of... No, that was a Sunday bris on Shabbos. This is a Friday bris on Shabbos. Everybody begins in this case, you're chayav.
This is Erev Shabbos.
So yeah, every Shabbos, you give a meal on Shabbos, we would have thought you're pater, because at least you fulfill the mitzvah. It's day 9. He said, no, this case you're actually chayav for doing so. So again, Beis Tinokos, Echal Amul Be'er Shabbos, Echal Amul Bas Shabbos, V'shachach Umal Es Shel Erev Shabbos, B'Shabbos, you chayav. Ma Nechalku, what do they argue on? Amisha Yulo Shnei Tinokos, Echal Mul Acha Shabbos, Echal Mul B'Shabbos. A Sunday bris and a Shabbos bris. V'shachach Umal Shel Acha Shabbos B'Shabbos. You take the Sunday baby, you give a Mila on Shabbos. Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev Chathas, Rabbi Shum Poter. So that's the din. So Gemara now says, wait a second. Hashta Rabbi Yehuda Seifa, Delo Kavin Mitzvah, Poter. In the second case here, Rabbi Shum says you're Poter, where you took a Sunday baby, you gave a Mila on Shabbos, which means it's day 7. For the baby, there's no mitzvah at all, and he says you're pater. So why in the case where you take a Friday baby and push off a day to its day 9, where you get a mitzvah, would you be chayev? The case where you get a mitzvah, you're chayev, and the case where you don't get a mitzvah, you're pater. That doesn't make sense. Again, hashda one more time. The Gemara says Rabbi Yeshua Seifa de lo ka'avin mitzvah and you're pater. Reisha de ka'avin mitzvah, you do a mitzvah because the day 8 baby is now on day 9. You gave the milah, you get the mitzvah, you're mechayev. So this is the svar. So Amri debei Rabbi Yanai Reisha Kagon Shekadam Umal Shel Shabbos Be'er Shabbos. The case of the Reisha is why you chayiv. You took the Shabbos bris, the Shabbos baby, and you gave a meal on Friday. Okay. Now the Friday baby you're going to give on Shabbos. So what's the issue? The lo nitna Shabbos lidachos. Shabbos was not really, should not have been pushed off. Because once I took the Shabbos, there's a Shabbos and a Friday baby. The Shabbos baby already got the milah accidentally on Friday. So now, the Shabbos baby already is taken care of. All you have left is the Friday baby, who's supposed to get a milah. But he's not supposed to get a milah on Shabbos. And the Shabbos bris already was taken care of. So Shabbos legabi me, as a father, it's not right to be pushed off anymore. Shabbos shouldn't be lidachos for the anymore. So if I do violate it, I'm violating an iser. As opposed to just look at the seifa, I think might help put things together. The seifa, where it's a Shabbos and a Sunday bris, nidna Shabbos lidachos, there it is right to give a bris. Why? It's a case where I took the Sunday baby and gave a milah on Shabbos. Granted, legabi the Sunday baby, the Shabbos shouldn't be pushed off, but I've got another brother, son, who was supposed to get a milah on Shabbos. Now, I didn't give the milah, I made a mistake, I switched the babies. But Shabbos was royally dachos for the Shabbos baby that was supposed to get a milah today. So Shabbos, legabi me as a father, was really pushed aside. I just did the wrong baby. But again, the first case is where I already took the Shabbos baby, gave the bris early on Friday, so all that's left is a baby that should have got the milah on Friday, so Shabbos isn't nitcha for me. So therefore, I violate an issue. That's the difference according to the Tanna de Rabbi Chiya. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Rav Ashi the Rav Kana Reisha Nami Nitna Shabbos Lidachos Legavei Tinokos De Alma." Even the Reisha is right to be pushed off. Granted, I took my Shabbos baby and gave him already a bris on Friday. So Legavei, me personally, Shabbos isn't right Lidachos. But there are many other babies who are going to get a meal today on Shabbos, so it is right Lidachos for someone out there. And therefore, if I do the baby on Friday accidentally on Shabbos, Shabbos should be pushed aside because some other babies are getting a meal today. And the Gemara says, no, but lahai gavra mia lois yahiv. But to me, the person, each individual, it's not right to be pushed off for me, my case. And therefore, I violate a veira if I gave my Friday baby a bris a day late on Shabbos, which is its day nine. Exactly. Okay. The rest is a little bit easier, I think. The rest of the daf. Mishnah says, "Katan nimo lishmona." If a katan, there are different days, amount of days that go by for a child to get a milah. So the classic case is a day eight baby. Katan nimo lishmona, 8 days from its birth. Letisha, sometimes it can be 9 days. Lasara, lachadasar, luyud base, lo pachas v'leyoser. Sometimes a milah can be given a child day 8, day 9, day 10, 11, 12. We'll see all the cases. Never any less, never before day 8, and never will have to take more than 12 days. When would you have to delay it to day 9 and so on? Haketan. Kedarko lishmon, if it's a regular birth and a regular scenario, day 8. That's a typical case. Nola lebena shmashos. Let's say the child is born bena shmashos. So then you're not sure which day, if it's born, let's say Sunday evening, Sunday, Monday, not sure which is the right day. So you can't be make it on the following Sunday, because let's say it was bena shmashos, it was really considered Monday. If you give the milah on the Sunday, that might only be day 7. So you have to wait till the following Monday to give the milah, where it's either day 8 or day 9. So that's Bein HaShemashah's birth could be day 9 days. Then the Mishnah says, Bein HaShemashah She'erev Shabbos. If let's say it's a Friday now, Thursday, Friday, rather Friday, Shabbos. So now I can't give it on the next Friday because that might only be day 7. I can't give it on the next Shabbos because maybe the baby is really born on a Friday and Shabbos is really day 9. So you need to wait until Motzei Shabbos, which is really Sunday, to give the child the bris. So in other words, if the baby's born on Friday into Shabbos, Bein HaShemashos, so Friday might be the day that's born. We can't give it the next Friday, we can't give it Shabbos, so we need to push off until Sunday to give the milah. That's 10 days later from the day of its birth. What's the next case? If it's born, Nima Latesbe, and Bein HaShemashos Erev Shabbos, Nima Lasara, Yom Tov, La'achar Shabbos. Let's say it's a Shabbos, and Yontif is Sunday, so now you can't give it Sunday either, because Sunday is Yontif, and it might be day 9 of the baby, and you can't give a day 9 baby or day 10 baby bris milah on Yontif. So then you have to wait till Achar Shabbos, Achar, Achar Shabbos. You have to wait until after Sunday, which is Monday, which is day 10 now.
That's because it can't be the milah, questionable milah on Yontif.
Exactly, right.
It's the same case as before, except Sunday was Yontif.
Exactly, we just added another day now because it's Shabbos Yontif, exactly.
Now it's 11.
Now it's 11 days, right. Beis Yamim, Sharash Shana. Now 2 day Rosh Hashanah, you can't give Shabbos, nor could you give Sunday or Monday, because it's a 3 day Yomdiv, because any Safek Mila, you can't give on Shabbos or Yomdiv. So now you have to push off L'Shemasar to the 12th day, which ends up being on a Tuesday. So the child is born on a Friday, and doesn't get a Mila all the way until a Tuesday. And so now there's interesting machlokas between the Rosh and the Rambam, whether or not the Mishnah only gives the example of the Shnei Yomdiv Shal Rosh Hashanah. What about Yantav Sheni Shel Yantav Shagal? It's a regular Yantav Sheni of Pesach, of Shuas, of Sukkot. That's not mentioned here in the case of the Mishnah. Why was that not mentioned here? So with Machlokas Rashi Rambam, they say, one holds that in a Hanami. You could actually give a Mila Shlomo Zman on Yantav Sheni from the very fact that it wasn't brought as an example. And the other says, no, they just gave the example of Rosh Hashanah, because where is the Mishnah written? It was written in Eretz Yisrael, where Yom Tov Sheni doesn't exist. But in a Chalami, in Chutz Laaretz, where there's a Yom Tov Sheni, of course you wouldn't give a Mila Shlomo Zmana on Yom Tov Sheni. So this is a very important machlokas between the Rosh and the Rambam, and it really goes to the root of the nature of Yom Tov Sheni. How much of it is it really a suffix, Yom Tov? How much is it really a real din? It's a real minag. But this is an important machlokas between the Rosh and the Rambam. I'm not sure we pass halach l'maisa. I assume we paskin not to give the Mila Shlomo Zmana Yantav Sheni. I never heard of such a thing, but it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But I imagine.
No, there's no suffix on
Ben Hashmashas. It's all minig. Oh no, it is a suffix. It can have a suffix Ben Hashmashas. If a child was born between Shkia and Tseis, it would be a suffix.
Oh, I mean, it's not that they didn't know what it was. It's just that
there's no way to ascertain whether it was a Sunday or a Monday. So that can happen. If it's a Ben Hashmashas, they will not give a Shabbos bris on Shabbos if it was born Ben Hashmashas. No, it has to be by Yom HaShmini, below Balayla. There's an interesting discussion. Rav Ozner talks about whether or not you could do Pidyon HaBen on Yom Tov Sheni or not. Pidyon HaBen is not a melacha. It's is muks involved, is mekach hamemkar involved of transferring the child and the money to the kohen. So he thinks that maybe it's taloy and whether or not we possibly like the Rosh and the Rambam, the guy with his din, a mila on Yom Tov Sheni. If you assume that a mila could take place on Yom Tov Sheni, he thinks certainly a Pidyon HaBen should be able to take place on Yom Tov Sheni. If you think otherwise, that maybe it wouldn't. But there's a lot of chilukim you can make, because Bris Mila is really makbid dafka on that day, Yom HaShmini. Pidyon HaBen, it's not that urgent. If you wait another day, it's not the end of the world. The Maisa, we don't allow Pidyon HaBen on Yom Tov Sheni. So then the Mishnah concludes, let's finish the Mishnah here. The Mishnah says, Katan achol, if a katan is ill, ein malin also ad sheyavri, you should not, of course, endanger the child and wait till the child gets healthy. So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, chalatzaso chama, if the child has some high fever, any type of fever, So it's dangerous to give him a meal. Wait till he gets healthy. No sin lo kol shiva lehibar lavroso. You have to give him a full 7 days in order to get healthy. So the reason is, if you look at Rashi, just interestingly, Rashi says yom havraaso kiyom hu lada, like the day he was born. We see this in the Gemara. I'm sorry. So Gemara now says ibar lehu mi ba'inan meis leis. Do you have to wait 24 hours, a full 24 hours, or day 7, even in the morning? Meaning, let's say the child was born, 1 o'clock afternoon, and he was born with a little fever. You give 7 days. You have to give 7 days from 1 o'clock, or no? Once day seven, the morning the sun rises at 6 a.m. in the morning, that's already enough to give the mila. So, what type of 7 days is needed to wait? Tashma, the Tani Luda. Luda is the name of a Chacham. Rashi says Yom Havraso ki Yom Hulada. The day the child gets healthy is like the day it's born. My lab, what's this comparison? My Yom Hulado Hulado Lo Ba'inu Meis Leis. The day the child is born, you don't need 8 days of Meis L'Eis. If the child is born at 1 o'clock afternoon, you don't wait 8 days to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You wait the eighth day, even in the morning, even though it's not a full 24 hours of 8 days. So just like you don't need a full 24 hours of Meis L'Eis from Yom Holado, so to Yom Havra, so the day it's healed, the day got healthy, you don't need to wait to the 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So again, Ma Yom Holado Lo Ba'inan Meis L'Eis, Af Yom Havra, so Lo Ba'inan Meis L'Eis. Gemara says, Lo, not true. Adif Yom Havraso Myom Halada. That the day the child gets healthy, loses the fever, is actually more stringent than the day was born. Because Dilo Yom Halado Lobainan Meisleis, because with respect to the day was born, you don't need a full 24 hours of 8 days from the moment it was born. However, Ilu Yom Havraso Bainan Meisleis, but the Gemara does seem to conclude that you do need to wait a full 24 hours of 7 days from the day the child got healthy. So the mission now in the bottom says, a little technical now, Elu Heina Titzin Makmin Samila, Basa Chupa as a Rov HaTara, Veina Ochel B'Shuma. We had said before that if there's certain Titzin Makmin, which is part of the Orla, that had not been removed, if it's Ma'aki the Mila, so then the child is not considered fully Mahul. He can't eat Shuma, for example. So what's considered Titzin Makmin? If it covers a Rov of the Atara, Rov of the Atara, that would be considered Titzin Makmin and must be removed. And if he doesn't, he's considered an Ariel, and Ariel is also B'Shuma. Vimaya Baal Basar, if he's a heavy individual, a child is a chubby baby, Misaknam Bipnei Maris Ayin, sometimes what can happen is that the child could be so a little bit overweight, a little chubby, it could give the impression as if there is no Mila there, the Arla is still there, the skin covers the area, so you have to fix in such a way, even though Mikra didn't you fulfill the mitzvah, but it's a way to fix it in such a way where it doesn't appear like he is an Arel. So the Mishnah goes on to say now in Amud Beis, Mal v'lo paris amila ki'ilu l'mal. If one performed the mila, there really are a couple stages in the mila. There's the cutting off, and then there's what's called parea, which Rashi is a lashon of gila, to remove, to expose. The lashon like pyro, for example. Pyro is to expose. Bal pa'or is to expose oneself. That's the lashon of para. So if a person does a mila but doesn't pull back the skin in such a way where the tara is exposed, that has not one has not performed the mitzvah. This is essential to performance of the ma'isa mila. So the Gemara now says two lines down. The first line down in the Gemara: Amar Rabbi Avina, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Bar Abba, Amar Rav, Basar Hachopa as Rov Gova. If the skin is covering up most of the Gova Shalatara, so that would be Ma'akev the Mila. So that's pretty much what the Mishnah had said. Vim Haya Baal Basar, if he's a chubby baby. Amar Shmuel Katan Hamasurba Babasar, Masurba Babasar, Rashi just explains, Katan Masurba Babasar, Paltira Balaz, I don't know what that means, but he explains, Sheshamein Va'av, he's a chubby kid, he's thick and fat, Wilacha Shinimol Nira Kimechaseu. And after he gets a mila, because he's so chubby, it gives the impression as if he still has a mila. It pushes the skin over the tara. So the Gemara explains again, Katan Hamasurba Babasar, he's overflowing with fat. Rowan also calls Manchu Miskasha Venira Mahol Einatach Lemol. If when the child is Miskasha, it appears Mahol, you don't need to. But when he's not Miskasha and he appears that he's Arla, that's not an issue. We look at what the state is when it's Bederach Miskasha. Vim Lav, if not, if even when he's Miskasha, it still appears as if he's an Arla, then Tzarach Lemol, one has to do the Mila. In the Brayos we learn, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Katan Hamasurba Babasa, a child who's very overweight. Rowan also calls Man Shemiskasha Ve'eno Nir Mahol Tzarech Lamula. So if when the state of Miskasha he doesn't appear to be Mahol, he does require Mila. Vimlav, if not, Eino Tzarech Lamula. Sounds pretty similar, these two Brayos. So what's the difference? My Benayu Ike Benayu Nir Ve'eno Nira. What's Nir Ve'eno Nira? This too is the bit. There's a subtle difference between the first Brayos and the second Brayos of what's considered appearing a Mahol or not Mahol. So Nir Ve'eno Nira is a nafkamina. So look at Rashi to explain. There is a few different pshatim. Let's just go with Rashi though. Rashi explains we are two narrow lines down. Ike Benayu Nir Ve'eno Nira. Lishmuel Nir Mahol Hu De'ein Tzarech Lamula. If he appears Mahol when he's Meskasha, there's no need for Mila. Ha Nir Ve'eno Nira Tzarech. Nir Ve'eno Nira is kind of like, it depends. It's hard to know. It's somewhere in the middle. It doesn't look Vaday Ariel, but it doesn't look Vaday Mahol, so it's somewhere in between. In that case, according to Shmuel, you would require a Mila, fixing everything up. But the Masnisa, the Brisa that was brought in second him, Eino Nira, who the Tzarech, only if it doesn't appear like Mahol at all, does he require a Mila. But if there's some in between model, Ha Nira Eino Nira, in the Tzarech. So that case, again, there's a case of Nira, that he looks Mahol, there's no need to fix anything. Another case where even Miskasha ain't a Nira, he looks completely like an Arel, Yuvada require fixing it up. But if there's this middle area where it's unclear, you can't really tell whether it's Nira of ain't a Nira, that's where there's this subtle debate between the opinion of Shmuel and this Bryce. Gemara now says, Mal v'lapara, if one did Mila and didn't do Puriya, well, one has not fulfilled the mitzvah. So the Bryce now quotes just the brachas that are said at a bris Mila. So Tani Rabbanan Hamal Omer Brachat Hashem Elkinim Echolam Al Hamila. Aviya ben Omer, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Lachniso Bibrisa Shel Avram Avinu. So the Moel says the bracha of Al Hamila, and the Aviya ben says Lachniso Bibrisa Shel Avram Avinu. Now there is one bracha that's not mentioned here, which is one of the riots they bring here. There's one say a Shechayanu at a bris. It's not mentioned here in the Gemara. We have cases where we're told to say Shechayanu, Mefurish Gemaras. For example, the last daf of Pesachim talks about whether there's a Shech, when there is a Shechayanu at a Pinyon HaBen, who says that Shechayanu? Does the Avi HaBen say Shechayanu at a Pinyon HaBen? Or there's a Kohen who receives the money? So it's clearly addressed. But for some reason, the Gemara doesn't mention Shechayanu here in the context of Bris Mila, which would indicate there should not be a bracha of Shechayanu at a Bris Mila. But nonetheless, the Rambam and the Gra Paskin, the Sfaradim Paskin, that there is a Shechayanu at a Bris Mila. So this is a Raya against them, but they Paskin nonetheless. So the Minhag Eretz Yisrael is often like the Minhag Gra. to say Shechianu, and Sfardim do say Shechianu at a Bris Milah, and Ashkenazim and Chutzlart do not say Shechianu. Now, what's that machlokas, whether or not there's a Shechianu? So the simple understanding is whether or not we've discussed it's whether or not the Bris Milah is a mitzvah of Simcha. The first daf of the parak here, according to Pasuk, Sasa Nochi al Mesecha, is an Indian of Sasa Mesimcha at a Bris Milah. So therefore, it's deserving of Seir Shechianu. That's why the Rambam and the Gros seemingly say Shechianu. But the Ashkenazim hold, based on the Gemara and Ksubas, Dav Zayin, that we don't say a Simcha B'Ma'ono. Right? We say Simcha B'Ma'ono at Sheva Brachos, but we don't say it at a Bris Milah, the Gemara says. Why not? Because it's Sar D'Yanuka. Even though there's Simcha at a Bris Milah, there's still the pain of the child. The child is the object of the whole mitzvah. He's there. And therefore, how can we have a Simcha B'Ma'ono when the child is crying and going through surgery? So just like there's no Simcha B'Ma'ono, there is no Shechianu. One of the nafkaminas is, can a avil attend the bris milah or not? If it's a simcha, avil can go. If it's not a simcha, so there's room to say that an avil may attend the bris milah. That's the simple understanding. There are other reasons why, explain why there might be a shechianu or not, but that's the simple understanding. The Gemara then says, after the moel says the bracha, and the aviyah ben says the bracha, so then the Gemara says, ha'omdim, those who are standing around, omrim, k'shem shenichnas lebris, kachi chanes l'torah l'chop b'maisim tovim. So they actually bring a raya here. Some Rishonim say, we see from here that you're supposed to stand at a bris milah. Right? Ha'om dem sham, those who stand, to say a milah. So the Rabbeinu Yeruchim explains that, no, this is how the Gemara speaks. Om dem means those who are around. Not dafka omed, it could be sitting. The people who are around respond in such a way, but now you actually have to stand up for this. Rama actually brings 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, whether one should stand or not stand, based on this Gemara. But he concludes that it's certainly best for a person to stand during the bris milah. So then we say, v'mevarech, Omer Asher Kita she did Betin Choku v'Sheiru Sham v'Tzeitav v'Chasim Bos Bris Kodesh Alkein v'Tzchar Zos Kechay Chalkeinu Tziva Tzaver LaHatzil Yididos Sheirenu Mishachas Laman Bris Hashem Sham v'Sareinu Brachat Hashem Kareis HaBris. That's a bracha after the Mila, the one with the kosher bracha. He says this bracha, then he goes on to do Kriyas Hashem. So these are the brachas that take place at the Mila. So then the Gemara says Hamal Es Agerim, one who gives a Mila to a ger, slightly differently. Omer, the Mila, the Moel says, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kedisham Bebitzos Bitzvanu, Al Hamila, Pamavarach Omer, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Lamul Es Agerim, Lahatif Mehem Dam Bris, is a different Nusach. When giving a Mila to a Ger, you say a very different Nusach. You don't say Lahachnisa Brisa Shah Mavinu, but rather you say Lamul Es Agerim, Lahatif Mehem Dam Bris. Ilmali Dam Bris, Lonis Kaima Shem Shemaim Va'aretz, had not been for the Bris Milah, there would not be a fulfillment. This is all part of the Nusach, I believe. I've never been to a Milah of a Ger, but it's all part of the Nusach, that Ilmali Dam Bris, Lonis Kaima Shemaim Va'aretz, had we not had the Bris, we wouldn't have, the world wouldn't be able to exist. As it says, Shenemar, Imlo Risi Yomun V'layla Chukos Shemaim Va'aretz Lo Samti Baruch Ata Hashem Kareis HaBris. That's the Nusach one says for the Ger. And then finally, a third case. What's a third scenario of a Mila? We have a child, we have a Ger, and we have an Eved. An Eved Kanani. If I buy a non-Jew, so when I buy him, he becomes Eved Kanani. He takes on a certain level of Geirus there. He's chayiv in mitzvahs. Under my auspices, he's chayiv in mitzvahs. Whatever women are chayiv in, he's chayiv as well. So the mikzas Geirus that takes place is actually Machlokas Ramam Ravid, whether or not there's a need for a Tvila. When I free an Eved Kanani, there's an issue to free an Eved Kanani. But for whatever reason, I do free an Eved Kanani. Let's say I have 9 people. I need to make a minyan. So the Gemara talks about in brachos, I could be meshachar eved to make 10 people to make a minyan. He's now a Jew, a full bona fide Jew. So the question is, does he require tevila or not? Because definitely when he becomes an eved, he needs to do tefila and mila. But does he need another tefila when he becomes free entirely and a full Jew? So they say it's a machlokas whether or not the initial tefila was l'shem geiris or was l'shem just simply l'shem mitzvahs. He has to be mekabel mitzvahs. So unclear what type of geiris he has while under my ownership, but there certainly is a milah that takes place there. So when one gives a milah to an Eved Kanani, Hamal es avadim omer, you say, Asher kidesham b'mitzos v'itzivanu al hamila, and Mevarech omer, the one who says the bracha, says, Asher kidesham b'mitzos v'itzivanu l'mul es avadim, ulhatif mehem dambris, shemale dambris b'chukos, shemayim v'aretz lo niskaimu, shenemar imlo brisi yomim v'layla, chukos shemayim v'aretz lo samti, baruch atah Hashem, so this slightly different nusach than that when giving a ger hajin lach Rabbi Eliezer Dimila. Let's begin this next parak now.
There's
a mitzvah to free a ger or not to free a ger? No, there's an issue there. I said it says, the olam hem tavodu. You cannot free an eved ever unless there's a certain tzorach. So machlok is how that works, where the examples are, but the Gemara in Brachos and Gittin says one example is to make a minyan. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer needed 9, 10 people. He had 9 people around. He said, where's the minyan? Let's free him up. The proof from there must be the minyan of deraisa. How else could I be violating Isser freeing an Eved to fulfill the minyan of a mitzvah? The Rush says that, no, it's not a minyan, it's not deraisa. Minyan is derabanan. But he was talking about Parsha Zachar. Parsha Zachar is deraisa. They had to fulfill it that way. Others say, no, minyan is deraisa. It's niskashti besochi b'dei Israel. There's an inyan of the Kiddush Hashem in the minyan. So that's part of the debate, one of the sources, whether or not a minyan is a real kiyum deraisa, whether it's derabanan, whether it's simply something that's encouraged. But there happens to be a fascinating machlokas between the Ramban and the Minchas Chinuch. Why are you allowed to free an Eved just to make a minyan? So one of them says, maybe the Chinuch says, I forget which one, the Ramban, Aseh Dochalos Aseh. Just like we say Aseh is able to Dochalos Aseh, so the Aseh minyan can be Docha, the Aseh of Lilol Mehem Tavodu. But the other one holds that no. The Isser of Lilol Mehem Tavodu, to always enslave an Eved, is an isser of manas chinam. Manas chinam is, I can't give a free gift to a guy. If I'm at a restaurant and I have some extra french fries, I'm not interested, I can't give to a random non-Jewish stranger in the restaurant. That's an isser of lo sechanim. The Gemara of the Zohar says, lo sechanim teaches three isurim. You can't give a free gift to a guy, you can't give a compliment to a guy, and you can't sell land in there to sell to a guy. So one of them is, I can't give a free gift. I can't give a bracha to a non-Jew. But, the Gemara says, Allah is, if I know the non-Jew, I have a relationship, I could tip a waiter. That's not a free gift. It's a tip for a service. I could tip the mailman, give him an end of year gift, not an Xmas gift, I said, but an end of year gift. I could give a gift. I have a relationship. That's not a free gift. When there's a relationship, there's service that's being provided. There's people who you know, their neighbors. That's not called a free gift. That's allowed. So to lo'ol mehem tavodu is you can't free them for no reason for free. But if there's a reason, there's a tzorach, you're gaining from it, I'm gaining a minyan, that's not a free gift, that's because I'm gaining something out of it, and therefore there's no isser to even speak of. Not because aseh is docha lo aseh, it's because the isser is only true when there's a mamish for free. But when there's a tzorach, when there's something I could gain from it, then the isser of liyom hem tavodu falls away. Okay, that's the end of the parak. Let's begin the next parak, and we'll just quickly go through the rest of the amud, and we'll call it a day. So the Mishnah begins, the new parak begins at Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Tolin es ha-mishmeres b'yomtev, you're allowed to hang a mishmeres, which is some type of a sifter or some type of rag that used to sift through a strainer of some sort, they used to sift something. So you could hang it on yomtev. And Rashi explains that they would hang this shemesanin b'shamer yayin, they would use it to sift through the different sediment of the wine to make it a pure wine. Rashi says further, umoteach pia l'chotzad, you'd kind of extend the edges of the strain of the chaltzad be'egul in a circle, v'nasek oel al-chala ha-kli, you kind of put it over top of the kli, it's making an oel, a cover, a tent on top of the kli. V'yafagav de'avid oel, even though you're making an oel, you're covering up the kli, it's shari b'yantiv, says Rashi, kin nefarish b'gemar, like the Gemara will explain. Avav b'mishabbis, misla l'chachila lo, you cannot hang this mishmeres on Shabbos l'chachila, aval im tluyahi, if it was hung from before Shabbos, nosin l'tocha shmar misanin, you can pour the wine over it, that's not called borah. So there's two things going on here. One is ohel, and one is in terms of borah. Borah is not going to be addressed here. The reason why it's not borah is only true when you're, I guess we know, I think the Gemara is going to explain it tomorrow. We'll get to it tomorrow to explain the issues of borah. This very much connects to certain types of coffee. They pour through strainers, and the coffee kind of drips through, the dripping coffee. I don't drink coffee, but I think it's got a drip coffee of some sort. We'll discuss borah mitzvah Hashem tomorrow. But for today's daf, we'll just focus on the ohel, the building of the tent over the kli. So back to the Mishnah again, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Tolinus of Mishmeres b'yomtif, v'nosin l'tluya b'shabbos. You could hang the Mishmeres on yomtif, but on Shabbos you can't hang it, but if it's hung already, you could pour into it. Chachamim Omer, ain't Tolinus of Mishmeres b'yomtif, v'nosin l'tluya b'shabbos. He says you cannot hang it on the Mishmeres on yomtif, that's a violation of a ohel, and even if it's hung on Shabbos, you cannot pour into it, it's a violation of borer on Shabbos. About what you can do is nosin l'tluya b'yantif, but you can pour into that which is already hung on yantif. So he agrees that this issue of, he says across the board, you can't hang this Shabbos yantif, there's an issue of oil, but l'gabe borer, there's no concern of borer on yantif, because yantif have different dinim, but there is a concern of borer on Shabbos. So there's two machokism going on here, in terms of hanging, whether that's allowed, and whether borer is allowed, in this case, whether it's a problem of borer when doing this on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, now just focusing right now on the ohel aspect, the Gemara says, Hashta, Rabbi Eliezer, Osifa ohel arai, lo mosfinan. If Rabbi Eliezer, we'll see in just a second how we see that, but if we know from elsewhere that Rabbi Eliezer does not allow a person to add on to an existing ohel, the ohel already exists, and you can't be mosif on the ohel from elsewhere, as we'll see, So then, lemeiver lechachila shari, would he allow a person to create a brand new ohel to place a mishmeres on top? Isn't that a real ohel? If most of ohel is aser for Rabbi Eliezer, certainly most of certainly being oser an ohel would be aser. So where do we see that he allows mahi? Where's the case where Rabbi Eliezer prohibits being most of ohel? Ditzan the mishnah, we saw this mishnah earlier in the Masechta not too long ago around the kuf chaf hey pakak hachalon, opening up the window. Of a using a window of the hole in a house, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Bisman Shekasher V'Taloi Poking Bow. The only time he allows you to put the window in the plug in the window if it's both attached to the wall of the house and also it's hanging, it's suspended. But if it's either detached or even if it's attached but it's resting on the ground, it's dragging on the ground, that's us. Vim Lav. If it's not, it doesn't fit both these criteria. Ain Poking Bow. You're not allowed to plug the hole. But why not? Because he thinks adding to the binyan is considered most of ohel. Chachamim finish off the Mishnah. Chachamim omrim benkach pokigin. They allow a person to, regardless of whether it's hanging or not hanging, you could plug the hole in the window according to Chachamim. V'amar Rabba bar Baruchana, Rabbi Yochanan, kol modim shein osin ohel arai b'tchila b'yamtif. Everybody agrees. You cannot make a new ohel on Yamtif. Vein tarach lomer b'Shabbos. And needless to say, on Shabbos you couldn't do that either. Lo nechaku, they only argue el ala hosif shi Rabbi Eliezer omer. Ain Mosif and Biyantav. The whole debate is whether you could add on to a ohel, but not to create a new ohel. The Rebbe Elazar says, Ain Mosif and Biyantav. You cannot add to an ohel on Yantav, and certainly not Vein Tzarech Lomer B'Shabbos. The Chacham Omer Mosif and B'Shabbos, Vein Tzarech Lomer B'Yantav. You can add to an ohel on Shabbos, and certainly on Yantav as well. So the Gemara says, so we see that Rebbe Elazar says, most of ohel is Aser. So how could he allow in our Mishnah here, Tolin is a Mishmeres, which is a brand new ohel arai, Osin lechachila, that's against what he says elsewhere by the Paka Kachala. So Gemara explains that Rabbi Eliezer Savar, Rabbi Yehuda, the Sanya ain ben Yamtiv l'Shabbos el Ochel Nefesh Bevad. The only difference between Shabbos and Yamtiv is you could perform Ochel Nefesh and Yamtiv. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, Matir Af Machshir Ochel Nefesh, even that which is there to prepare the food, to make to make the kalim, to make the knife, to make the pots, that's allowed according to Rabbi Yehuda. So machshir ochel nefesh is allowed according to him, and therefore even the mishmeres, setting up the mishmeres, would be also machshir ochel nefesh and permitted according to Rabbi Eliezer. So Gemara says, Eimer d'shmanin l'Rabbi Yehuda b'machshir and she'efshar l'asos me'er v'yamtiv. Granted, Rabbi Yehuda says machshir is allowed only when it would be impossible to have done before yamtiv. But that which is machshirin she'ef shalasos miyamtiv me'erav yamtiv, that which could have been done erav yamtiv mishmasle de Rabbi Elazar, mishmasle, does he allow you to do this? Rabbi Yehuda's heter is limited to only that which was impossible. But you could have hung the mishmeres erav yamtiv. So since you could have done it erav yamtiv, it would be also to do on yamtiv itself. So the Gemara says you're right. Rabbi Yehuda himself is mechalik between that which was efshir versus that which is Efshar. However, Rabbi Eliezer himself is Adif from Rabbi Yehuda. He takes a step further. He even allows that which was Efshar Rabbi Yantif. He allows one to do it even on Yantif itself. Okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow. I'm...